Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Everybody, welcome to Beyond the Bell. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by my very good friend, the sweetest boy in all of Fightful. Not Rich Stambolian. Not me. Not MG Geek. The one, the only, Joel Pearl.
Hello, my sweet babies.
I had to pay a heavy tariff to have you on the show today.
Hey, that's just what happens. Listen, if you listen to me and you take my calls and you accept my offers, then we'll just go back to square one and everything will be fine.
Everything will be fine. Let's go. I'm excited for this because I had to make sure I'm recording. I haven't spoken to you in like a month. It's been, and we talk like all the time, but my December got so crazy and January didn't settle. Last week I was in the woods, taking things from the ground and consuming it and looking at the stars. It was amazing. So I'm, you know, this is the first week that I'm like officially back in any capacity functioning.
And
it was
a wild
couple of weeks, man.
I mean, here I am trying to text you all the time and you're in the woods and I'm in the weeds and everything's just upside down. I don't know what to say anymore, but it's nice to connect. It's nice to redo this. Listen, while SB3 and Jeremy are holding down in the weeds now 5 days a week with the added of Tuesday, Thursday, I'll come over here. I'll fill in for Rich once in a while. Don't tell anyone, but tell everyone. It's a war.
So are you off of that show?
No, not at all. I'm still hosting Monday.
They kicked you off?
No, first of all, it's one of my shows. This is something that Jeremy and I put together. No, I'm still Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tuesday is usually my day off, but when you come calling, I have to answer.
I think In the Weeds should be a 5 day a week show.
And it is. So now we've added Tuesdays and Thursdays. Jeremy Lambert and SB3 are hosting Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we're still live, Fightful Overbooked, 10 a.m. Eastern, going for two and a half hours, however long it goes. Guests come in. They have one this morning. Brian Zillum from PW Torch is there. They're talking about everything from the Rumble to the Mavs trade. So go ahead and you can get in that. But this is where you want to be right now.
This is where you want to be. In the chat, Luis goes, Andrew Zarian, woodsman. I was a woodsman. Dude, I started a fire. I'm a city boy, and I started a fire. They had a schwitz, like a really nice European schwitz. So you have to start the fire outside to go with, you know, to get it going. It was amazing. We had a fantastic week. You know what was great? I watched AEW in the theater. This house had a movie theater in the basement, so I was watching Dynamite in the movie theater. My wife came down. She goes, "What is happening here? I can't escape this. We're in the middle of nowhere. You're still watching wrestling." I go, "Listen, I have to. They'll send me back to my planet. It'll be a disaster. She won't be happy." A lot of professional wrestling, though. So let's start with this. Royal Rumble. Joel, what did you... Give me your thoughts on the men's Rumble. Actually, let's start off with the women's Rumble, because there was something that was so evident during this women's Rumble. Do you know what that was?
Hashtag bow down.
Hashtag bow down? to the queen.
Now, that's all.
That is all it was. There is a major problem with these theme songs.
Oh, we're doing this again. Okay, we did it last year.
We did it last year also, but it was so much worse this year.
Yes and no. So yes, first of all, I'm fully in agreement that the theme music is still a problem. I think if you watch the shows enough, you know who's coming out. Therefore, the ones who are on Raw, SmackDown, NXT every week, you kind of got it. But yeah, there are a bunch of themes that are still generic and not so great. Here's a good example. This is actually the Men's Rumble. Was Finn Balor coming out to whatever the Judgment Day's EDM ripoff theme is instead of his like dark brooding Finn Balor theme that they made for him? That one was really weird. But on the other side, they give AJ Styles his original theme back, and that's the way it should be. So like,
they're correcting it, which is a positive. Yes. Like I know this is controversial. I don't like the remake of the Roman theme.
Really?
I don't love it. I don't like it. I like the old one better. But that's me. But I could say that's me. I like Nakamura's new theme. That was nice, right? Because that's a newer theme.
A lot of people don't love it, though, because it's such a departure from his original. But it should be different because he's a different character and a different presentation. So it fits what they're working with.
He's an undead samurai.
Perfect.
That is what he is. The women's one, though, was, what did you make of the Rumble itself? I thought there were some interesting moments. I think Nikki Bella coming back was cool. I think Trish did really well. You know, to think about it, Trish came in at 25, but she was moving around tremendously in that match. We had Julia make her Royal Rumble debut. You had Stephanie Vaquer come out, look like a million bucks. I like Stephanie Vaquer. She really pops to me. You know, if we're talking about the whole realm of the talent in this, obviously, everybody that's there is talented. Don't get me wrong. But certain people stand out. And to a WWE audience that is not familiar with, with a lot of the women in NXT, because this was a very casual crowd. It's not the hardcores that are filling in a Royal Rumble. This is, you know, kids and families and wives and husbands and cousins and whatever. You go to the Rumble. It's like, hey, you have a Rumble party. Stephanie Vaquer was what I got a lot of info on. Trish, obviously, people knew. Nikki Bella. Julia was another one. And nobody really cared that Charlotte came back.
Well, they knew she was coming back. She was promoted for it. It was multiple weeks of promos and her saying I'll be in the Royal Rumble, and at that point it just felt kind of obvious. But at least she was the favorite, and it's understandable why. She's always presented in top capacity, and everyone else that was in that Rumble you either kind of know or they don't have a set spot from WrestleMania. There's other stories at play. Like, it made sense for Charlotte, especially when you think about who the women's champions are right now. There are stories for both, and so I think going to Raw, you can talk we'll talk about that in a bit, but like the women who are involved, there's enough to play with. And I like that part of Charlotte.
I do want to say Jordynne Grace. You know, I was watching this with the kids and Jess. And I love watching like the Rumble with them because my kids are so excited for the Royal Rumble. They ask every month when the next Royal Rumble is. They still have not figured it out that it's a once a year concept. And they really enjoy this. And when Jordynne came out at number 19, I was explaining to Jess like her entire transformation, physically, character-wise, in-ring-wise. I mean, this woman changed everything about her and worked so hard to become this character or this person. You know, she's a person. She's a character, whatever you want to say. It is really, like, if you look at the 5 years since 2020 to today, what a change.
A powerhouse is what she's become.
I'm going to ask my producer something. MG, I'm putting you on. What did you do to my screens?
I didn't do anything to your screens.
I'm anamorphic on my screen. Oh, there it goes back. Is nobody sees this, right? And now it's back.
No.
So, see, now he's smirking. You literally got moved.
No, I moved you on my desktop. I don't know why that affects what you see. And then
it moved me on mine, and I became anamorphic. I was a little pinhead. I don't want people to think that's what's happening to me. This is my face is the only thing I have left, and you're taking that from me.
You're the only one seeing it.
That is it.
It's in your own mind.
But Jordynne Grace, I mean, really came off so impressive. And then you had people like Shayna Baszler that a couple of years ago, people were getting really behind. And it really, I thought it was a bizarre hodgepodge in this Rumble. Alexa Bliss coming back. We got that too.
Big surprise. And was a really, really fun surprise.
Because of course, Uncle Dave said that they were far apart and they got the deal done that Sunday.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Dave was right. Mike was right. Yeah. Sean was right. No one was wrong in their reporting. And everyone at the time of their reporting or the time of their call, whatever it was, they were right. Things can happen at the last minute. And that's exactly what happened. And we have reports on Fightful Select about how that went down. And you can take a look again, best $6 in the business, get in on it. And yeah, no, we were right. And so was Dave. And so was Mike. And I thought it was absurd as I'm listening to them jump all over themselves, because God forbid people want to ask about other things going on in WWE, TKO and other people's offices.
Overall, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
I think it was a thumbs up. Listen, you know, there's nothing wrong with the Rumble when your nitpicks include the mid card. This was the most nitpicky thing I could think of, and that was the idea that you had Ivy Nile eliminate Lyra Valkyria. Lyra Valkyria is the Intercontinental Women's Champion, and last week Ivy was like, "I'm coming after that title." So she eliminates Lyra. Maxine, who we've been told is a giant loser, comes in and she eliminates Ivy Nile, even though they've had a little shtick. But whatever, she eliminates Ivy Nile, who just eliminated Lyra, and then Maxine gets immediately eliminated by PFC, and then PFC all eliminated immediately after that. It's like you're just downplaying one person after another. And if that's my only real criticism of the Rumble, I think you did okay. I would have loved to have seen Becky Lynch, but of course there are other plans that will be, you know, talked about later. But this was a fine Rumble.
It was fine. It was fine. And I love the 6 p.m. start. Let me just tell you that. That is incredible for a number of reasons. One being that I can watch it early and it's not midnight and I'm not banging my head against the wall, and my kids are able to watch it because my kids go to bed because they're children. 2 out of 3 pinfall match, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, DIY against Motor City Machine Guns. This, you know, it was a fine match. I don't think it needed to be a 2 out of 3 pinfall match. I thought that first pin was brilliant. You know, the big story here is everybody's waiting for the next match and the Rumble. And that's what this was. They needed to fill in another match. Was it necessary to have this match? I don't think so. Could they have ended the show 20 minutes earlier? Sure. This could have been anywhere else.
That was my only gripe. This was the wrestling match on the card, right? Yeah. Cody and KO was a street fight for all intents and purposes. It was a fight. It was a ladder match. The Rumble is the Rumble. There isn't exactly, you know, other than spots, you're not watching for wrestling. This was the wrestling match. So it literally was a little something for everyone. DIY, Motor City Machine Guns have had fantastic 2 out of 3 falls matches in their respective companies, so it made sense to do that. Having the Street Profits come out and take out both DIY and Motor City Machine Guns, that I didn't love, because people thought it was a heel turn since they attacked Motor City Machine Guns, but then they did DIY. So yeah. Michael Cole is on the call having to explain to the audience why it's not a heel turn and why they did it. And that doesn't work for me. That always kind of muddies up the waters. And if you're explaining why something's happening, then you've clearly confused the audience, and it doesn't work.
I agree with you. The ladder match. What did you make of this? Kevin Owens, Cody Rhodes. Kevin killed himself.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
not the killing, the match itself.
Kevin is so good, and you know, Cody's fantastic, but Kevin really, he's so good in this role, just being a real piece of crap. He's so good.
He's the most aware person on the roster, and he uses that to his advantage in his character. You want to know what my one gripe of this whole story was?
What?
Why did they put the titles above the ring at Saturday night's main event and Raw the next night and SmackDown on Friday, only to have both men walk out with their damn titles on the Rumble?
And so is the classic title going away now?
I think so. Yeah.
So Cody brought it back. He wore it once. Kevin stole it, and he never got to wear it again.
Yeah, I gifted. It was gifted to him. He was told by Triple H, you know, don't lose this thing. And then he lost.
He's like, listen, Cody, I went on WWEshop.com and I ordered you this replica. Here you go. You could go out with it now. And everybody started talking about how it's a replica.
Now I don't know if I can trust you with one of my old WWF title belts.
He doesn't have that one. He never had that one.
Well, you can give him the old King of Kings one, the memorial, not the memorial, the commemorative.
Thank you. The memorial one.
That's another time, another place.
Men's 2025 Royal Rumble. I had a lot of fun with this. Oh, Joel heel turn on Jeremy by joining Zarian now. Yup.
Hey, all I gotta say is, if Jeremy Lambert wants to call me two-show Joel or say that I run from the grind, here I am. Here I am on a Tuesday working my ass off.
You know, I thought I was the most controversial figure here on Fightful, but I've had to step it up, apparently. Now I'm stealing talent from other shows.
Just got some money, baby. That's all you need.
That's it. I will pay you in 5 Ameros.
Is that like American Aero bars? Is this chocolate?
Oh, do you know that conspiracy that that do you know about the Amero currency? This started during the Bush era here in the States, that America, Canada, and Mexico are going to have one shared currency called the Amero.
This is when the euro came into play, isn't it?
I guess so. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Listen, I told you I had to pay a heavy tariff to have you on today. I don't know. This is not good. I can't afford this moving forward. Men's Royal Rumble. Okay. I want to criticize this, okay? I want to talk about this. And I don't want anyone to attack me on this. I thought Penta was a mess. Okay? It was not good. That Rey Mysterio Penta exchange. I love Penta. I think he's the most talented. I think maybe nerves are playing a part in this. You know, it's different ring. It's a different this. It's a different that. You know, he needs a little bit to marinate, which I agree with. I thought this was bizarre. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree because I don't think that Penta looked bad per se. I think maybe he was getting used to the Rumble format. You saw the way he was taking bumps at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he kind of came around and figured it out. People didn't seem to care. I know that, you know, online
and
people
were
like,
oh, I'm glad people didn't care. I gotta call it honestly. And I never,
of course,
I really do that with, you know, in-ring shenanigans, but you know, there were a number of spots. You know, there was that one spot that he picked Rey Mysterio up and then Rey went right onto Chad's knees. But why did Penta sell it?
Maybe he was hurting earlier in the match.
No. He was standing up. He was standing up. He was fine. And then he sold it like he got, like Rey did something to him. And I was like, okay, it's getting wacky here in the beginning. But he figured it out. Once Braun Breaker came in, that's when everything kind of settled in. You know, once you got the number 7 and then you had that I Show Speed moment where he snapped them in half. I thought this was a fine Rumble. I didn't have as many issues as some other people did. I like that the second half was heavy loaded, starting with Joe Hendry. Love that everybody knew him. I have to tell you, you know, you know, obviously, you and I know who he is. Our audience knows who he is. But so many people are like, oh, yeah, that's the guy that comes up on my TikToks.
That's it.
And I was like, he's never come up once on my TikTok.
You're clearly watching the wrong TikTok videos then.
You don't know. My TikToks are so effing disturbing.
I believe that. I really do.
It's the most schizophrenic TikTok you could imagine. It's like,
see,
my
I'm
taste
not even
in music.
On. You're I'm not even on it. TV.
Yeah.
So I don't really, yeah. I, you know, I don't know. I watch reels once in a while on Instagram or on YouTube. I'll watch shorts, but like, I do not, I'm not a TikTok person.
Oh, just forget not. It. Instagram, that explore page on Instagram should be set on fire.
Oh, I do not use it. Everything is my for you. I curate my world for me. I'm not like, I'll go outside my bubble sometimes, but it ain't going to be because of Instagram or other social medias, because I know who runs them and who wants me to see what. I'll see what I want to see. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll see what I want to see.
Yeah. I'll see what I want to see and who I want to see. Thank you. It's fine.
Rey Mysterio was number one. Penta was number two. Chad Gable, three. Carmelo Hayes came out as four. Santos Escobar, Otis. Braun Breaker. This man is so impressive. They had a little something there. This was a nice showing for him, especially to a casual audience. Aisho Speed, Sheamus, Jimmy Uso, Andrade, Jacob Fatu. Another one that really stood out is Jacob Fatu. You know, I always think, right? And have you, do you think this way? I mean, you've been a wrestling fan majority of your life. So have I. And every couple of years, I think, man, you know, when these guys, whatever set, guys, girls, doesn't matter, when they are done, will they be able to fill that funnel with interesting, unique characters that stand out as much as these guys, like a Randy Orton? Or, and I've thought that, you know, the first time I thought that was like the Hogan era. Like, oh, what's going to happen when Hulk Hogan retired? Like, who's going to be there? And then obviously we had the Attitude Era, then that continued. And it was getting a little worrisome for people when they're like, well, you know, when John Cena and CM Punk and these guys start retiring, which they are, what's going to happen to that funnel of talent? It's never ending. Because yep. Braun Breaker, Jacob Fatu, these are the guys that are going to be there for the next 10 or so years. And you can see that.
And they have an NIL program, and they have NXT, and they have LFG, and they have the Evolve program, and they have WWE ID. They're looking, they're scouting, they know that they need to fill those funnels, and that the funnels, and it's exactly what that is. It's a funnel. Every single guy, girl, whatever you put in there, if you put 60 in there and two come out, that's a win.
Look at this next step of people, right? Joe Hendry, Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, Jey Uso, AJ Styles, Braun Breaker, John Cena, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Dominic Mysterio, Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn, Damian Priest, LA Knight, Logan Paul. What a final 15 to be called in there.
Yep. It was a tale of two half rumbles again. Yeah. Just like 2020.
Just like 2020. Who was the agent on this?
Oh, I don't have that info yet.
I thought Fightful Select would have posted that immediately.
Oh, I know that we had names of people who were involved in Rumble, but I gotta go back and find it. But
this was a very different. I mean, this is the new way of doing the Rumble. You know, this is not the Pat Patterson Rumble. This is a tale of two halves, like we saw in 2020. I thought this was fine. A lot of people were confused on the CM Punk elimination after he eliminated Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, and they were in that mix. There was a big problem with the elimination of Drew McIntyre. Afterwards, he was very upset, apparently at LA Knight. I think this is fine. I thought this was a good story, and to have Jey Uso win the Royal Rumble surprised a lot of people, but not in a bad way. And if you watched Monday and how popular he was coming out on Monday, 100% you know this was not the wrong decision.
So, first of all, Shane Helms helped produce the men's Rumble.
Okay.
So, watch out, here comes Hurricane. The women's Rumble was produced by Petey Williams, TJ Wilson, and Kenny Dykstra. None of those names should surprise anybody.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Jay was the right call. Jay was the right call for the most shocking outcome, while also giving you the most over guy in the room. And when
I say
over, they've
been telling you this for a while. They've been telling you Jey Uso is the most popular guy that they have.
Yep. And again, for those who are looking for the best wrestler on the card, best moves on the card, no, you're not going to get that from Jey Uso. But if you're looking for the guy that are literally going to ask for an encore on an entrance on a Monday Night Raw, you got that guy. And the shock and the awe was there. Yeah, Jey Uso's, I love the way that he reacted when he knocked out John Cena. Yeah. He's sitting there. He's going, he's literally saying, and he said it on Pat McAfee, but I saw it like when it happened. He was like, oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. Like he's having that reaction. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It got everyone. And I think that's a great call.
Jey Uso was a great example of that next generation of talent that will be, you know, they're looking for a cooler world champion. That is literally what they're looking for. They want someone that crosses over mainstream pop culture to hit a young demo. You want the young demo.
And this is what is great about having Cody on one side and potentially Jey Uso on the other. Yeah. You have a complete dichotomy, like a juxtaposition of characters and style.
Yeah.
You have gritty Jey Uso that people love to do the yeet and they like to do the dance. Like, he dresses very differently from prim, proper, ostentatious Cody Rhodes. Like, it works on that degree if that's the way that they want to go with it. And it feels like they will, because WrestleMania is full of so many stories and so many matches. And to me, doing a match with Jey Uso and Gunther one more time, after Gunther has had Jey Uso's number for years and for multiple championships, this is the opportunity you have to create a moment, which is what WrestleMania is typically built around, where David beats Goliath.
Yeah.
And he wins the big one, and main event Jey Uso becomes literal main event Jey Uso as the world champion. Do I think that this match will go on last on one of the nights? Currently, I don't. But do I think that it would get people absolutely out of their seats and loving it? The party will be going on. It'll be great.
Yeah. To talk about that separation, right? That contrast of brands and the people, you know, the champions that are representing that brand. I have to tell you, Gunther and Cody being champions at the same time may not have been the best optic decision for that company. And because they both are more put together in a sense. You know, they're wearing the suits. They're the champion. They hold the belt. Like, you want that contrast. You want very different styles of champion. I get why Gunther is the world champion. And I agree that Gunther should have been world champion. And I also like that when Damian Priest was champion. However, if you have Jey Uso champion and Gunther is a champion, I get it, right? You're kind of filling in the spots to see, okay, we're gonna hit this demo, we're gonna hit this demo with this, and we'll in a couple months we'll reshuffle the deck again. I think Jey Uso winning that at WrestleMania is gonna be great. Already, listen, he's coming out with, who'd he come out with last the other week?
He came out with Travis Scott on the debut. Yeah, he came out with Quavo last week.
Listen, him coming out with Quavo. There's a reason why they're doing that. They're not, I mean, this is a very different way of thinking for this company. It's opened to more mainstream media. And you're telling a story like, hey, listen, Jey Uso's coming out with, you know, Travis Scott, arguably one of the biggest names in music. How do you, I mean, that message is 100% completed. This guy's a cool guy. He comes out from the crowd. He says yeet. He wears Jordans.
They all wear Jordans.
I wear Jordans too. I wear Jordans. I know. They've mainstreamized the Jordan thing.
You can thank Liv Morgan for that.
Is it her fault?
I mean, you can say it's the Bucks as well, but Liv was doing it for a long time in NXT as well. She was coming out, you know, as the queen of Staten. No, she wasn't the queen. She was the Jersey girl. Sorry, queen
she's
of Staten Island. I was thinking of Carmella. Yeah.
Carmella's the queen of Staten Island.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, get your questions ready for the end of the show. We're going to be doing a Q&A once we're finished up with Raw. Jey Uso kicked off the show. Oh, okay. Let's go. Let's do the Super Chats. My dog is in here. Do you see him on the corner? Hold on. Nico, come here. And then we'll do a Super Chat. Nicholas, can I help you?
He said his name and he disappeared.
Yep, there's his tail. Let's do the Super Chat. Thank you, Sultan Zarian. This is $4.99 for gracing us with your presence. If you had to pick one star to build your wrestling kingdom around, who would it be? Roman Reigns.
Go with that.
It would have to be. How about you?
Cody's pretty high up there. Pretty big. And honestly, even again, we're talking about Jey Uso. He's another guy that in the next 3 to 5 years, you might be seeing a lot of people putting stock into him more than they are in you.
Yeah. What else? Did you have another Super Chat, or that's the only one you want to do? All right. Watch the Grammys, Arian. I did not watch the Grammys.
Buddy,
Super Bowl halftime will be.
If you thought 4,000 artists screaming a minor was one thing, wait until a stadium starts doing it at Super Bowl halftime.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one.
Oh, I'm all in for it. Let's go.
Okay, AW Shockwave, still a thing. Might go Grand Slam. Okay, oh yeah, because he's in Australia. He paid us with Australian bucks, $2.99. I don't know. That's gotten quiet. Whatever that Shockwave was. People in Warner thought that this is a Fox thing. So, there's not been nothing on it since December. Right? Because I think it was like beginning of December.
As far as I remember, there was always reporting. There was the whole situation where Swerve was on. He was basically caught, and I don't mean that in a bad way. He was saying it to somebody about, you know, maybe we're doing Fox, and people ran with that. And after that, we didn't really hear much about the Fox movement. And now you got WWE Evolve on Tubi, so that also re-sparked the AEW Shockwave stuff.
I did get a message from somebody. This was interesting, to be honest. There it is. So I didn't know that they were doing this. He goes, "Hey guys, been a fan of the show for a long time, and this weekend I finally got to go to the Royal Rumble. I stayed by the airport and needed an Uber to go to the stadium, and I noticed an ad while waiting for my car. This guy's going to Rumble. What do you think that ad was?"
AEW Dynamite.
Yes.
I know, because I know who it was that sent you that, and because I saw it on Twitter as well.
You saw this on Twitter?
Yeah. I'm assuming it's the same person.
I don't know. This guy's name is Pete. Was that guy's name Pete?
No, it's not.
Oh, maybe this is a second one. Not a big fan. Listen to this, though. Not a big fan of AEW. Not a big fan of AEW because I didn't have cable. But convinced me to watch some stuff on Max.
Okay.
Tell French Tony Khan that he has another sicko. Pete from Houston. We're doing mailbags here like it's 1995 and we're doing the radio show.
I'm going to DM you what I saw.
Okay, send me what you saw. Yeah. Was it negative?
No. It's very similar to what you were just saying.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
this person does not watch AEW, and apparently advertising works. Marketing works. Oh, let me see this.
All right, just send it to you.
Oh, yeah, this guy. No, it was not this one.
Okay, well, I know who this person too.
Yeah, of course. Very fun. AEW, he got... So this guy, Pete, got an AEW ad on his way to Royal Rumble. That's great. Okay.
Good stuff. If it gets you watching, go ahead.
That's one conversion. That's worth all of it.
It counts. It counts for a lot of people. It counts. Sometimes you just got to put it out there. One is enough, or one is a good start.
One is a very good start. I had a client that wanted to do taxi tops. Okay. This is pre-pandemic here in New York. And they wanted to take out ads on the taxi tops. And I was like, listen, man, for the money you're going to pay to take out an advertising for your restaurant on a taxi top, you're looking at about $250,000 for the quarter. Right? You got about 1,000 taxis that could do this. About 700 of them are probably on the road. The rest are getting repaired. I don't think this is a good idea. And they did it anyway. And they blew through this money and they got 4 conversions. Trackable.
Wow.
You know what? 1 for AEW, 2 for AEW. That worked. I say they're ahead of the game right now.
And for all we know, they got, well, first of all, the other person I sent you, they were already watching. But like this one person that contacted you, well, that's one. I'm sure other people have been interested. I'm sure other people have checked it out. If it shows up on their Mac screen and they're like, oh, wrestling, I remember that. Same as the Netflix conversation, right? Raw's on Netflix. I had friends who had never watched the show before or haven't watched since the 90s. They were suddenly watching with their kids and they see The Rock and they're like, whoa, this is so cool. I don't know if they're going to go to Elimination Chamber in Toronto, but like they had interest at that moment. So it works.
So Jey Uso got very emotional when he started talking. He was freezing up a couple of times. Gunther came down and tells Jey he's disappointed. He won because beating Jey at WrestleMania doesn't improve his legacy. By the way, Jey Uso said he's going to SmackDown. He's going to talk to Cody, see what he's going to do. Right? That's next. You also got Penta and Ludwig Kaiser. Penta looked good here.
Yeah. Solid match building out of the Rumble.
Solid match. So Charlotte comes out as a babyface. She talks about how much she misses the fans, and they start booing her. And they boo her, and they boo her, and she's pouring her heart out and saying this injury was so bad. Boo! And she kind of like snaps back at them. And it's like, you people don't understand. You guys don't get it. What did you make of that?
Both of your champions are baby faces. Technically, all three if you count NXT as well. Why aren't we just leaning into this? I get that she came back, and I understand that people had a big reaction for the return of Charlotte Flair. It was a big reaction. People had a big cheer off. It was great. She won. There was a lot of cheers. But whoever decided at that point, oh, she should still be presented as a babyface are crazy. She's not. She is a wonderful bad guy. She is a wonderful heel. Do not try to present her as anything but to do a heartfelt, you know, I never thought I'd come back. Do that in media. Do that in a one-on-one or whatever, like a different presentation. Don't do it in front of fans. What you're supposed to do when you're going after two very popular baby face champions, maybe three if you count NXT. Don't know why they didn't try to pivot or at least give her the opportunity to pivot. It just felt really awkward.
Yeah, no, it was not good. It was not good. Rhea came out, said that she respects Charlotte and she should challenge her, but Charlotte said that she's going to go down to NXT and what's going on there and see Julia, maybe Tiffany Stratton. I mean, the match should be Tiffany and Charlotte more than Rhea and Charlotte.
There's history on both sides, which is why I appreciate the fact that Charlotte won. You can do something with both. You know, Tiffany and Charlotte, I kept saying that if you're going to do the one promo, it's going to be Charlotte saying, you know, I'm the, I forget what the wording was, but essentially I'm the original and you're the facsimile. That they play on she is the OG. And then with Rhea, there's already, they've done a WrestleMania match. Now Rhea wants to get her win back, whatever it is. Like, they could do more with it. But Charlotte and Tiffany seems like the match right now, which is great. I'd love it.
Backstage. Who confronts Io Sky? Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, Real confronts Io Sky. Rhea confronts Io Sky, wishing her luck before Liv Morgan attacks Io. Raquel then attacks Rhea Ripley, setting up what happens later. You got the New Day defeating the LWO, which was Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio. That was nice to see Dragon Lee on TV. The New Day has a new theme for the first time in many years, okay, because they're heels now. Logan Paul came out in the middle of this one to scout Rey Mysterio. So I guess that's the match next week.
Yeah, this they have the
Elimination Chamber qualifier. I mean, Logan should be in it. I don't think Rey's going to be in it, but to add something to it. Maybe CM Punk costs, you know, somebody the match. Logan Paul the match. You could do that.
We should be so lucky.
So they gave an update on Roman, and they said he's indefinitely out after the injury he suffered. But they didn't say what it was. On the press conference, on that post show, Triple H pretty much said, like, there were no injuries. Everything was fine. This man had his skull crushed. I mean, he got a double foot stomp on the head by, I guess that was by mistake, but I mean, is he concussed? Is he not? They looked concerned.
I think it's just a story.
Just a story.
Just a thought. So it's one, a couple nights after the Rumble. We got a lot of time until Mania.
So he's hurt. But we'll get an update. Women's Elimination Chamber qualifier, Liv Morgan defeated Io Sky by DQ. Shouldn't have been a no contest.
This was a really weird finish, and I really did not like the way it went. Rhea Ripley comes out and gets into it with Raquel Rodriguez, knocks her down, and then Liv Morgan tries to get at Rhea, and Rhea clocks Liv Morgan, and that ended that gave the disqualification finish. But it doesn't make sense because Liv was the offending party, so the referee should have used his discretion to let it go if we're talking about a real life scenario. Instead, they just said it's a DQ, Io's out, Rhea's in, and they teased Rhea and Io once So maybe that's the world title match at Elimination Chamber and whatever. But it was a really weird finish. I don't think that it made sense in the grand scheme of things.
Adam Pearce says that AJ Styles was the final get for Raw via the transfer window. So he's on Raw. Great. Braun Breaker tells Pierce to keep AJ away from himself. From him. Okay, so that's the program, I guess. Seth Rollins is out. He breaks down his experience in the Rumble. Men's Elimination Qualifier. You also had CM Punk, Sami Zayn. This was a great match.
Yeah.
Okay? When have we ever gotten these two?
No, they made reference to this being the first time these two have locked up, and I really enjoyed that they gave it to us as an elimination qualifier, had stakes. By the way, the Seth Rollins promo was really to give CM Punk and Rollins some one-on-one time on the ramp. They went at each other, so they're leaving that fire simmering, which was good, but the match between Punk and Zayn was very, very well done. Good stuff.
Very well done. I know that they used to hang out when he was El Generico. They never worked together.
Yep.
Fascinating. This was a great match. Kevin Owens would attack Sami Zayn at the end with a package pile driver. So I guess we're giving Kevin and Sami for the 10 millionth time, which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
These guys have wrestled their entire lives together, and they will continue to wrestle their entire lives together.
And there's so much history there. And you could add a stipulation to it if you really wanted to, but these two, come on, they're going to beat the crap out of each other. If they were to do it in Toronto, that would be the funniest thing to me, to watch the Canadians have to pick between the two very popular Canadians. I don't think they'll do it, but part of me wants to see the chaos just because I hope to be there, and it'd be very funny.
I'm going to keep MG's picks for Matt Men. We're going to make that a segment on Matt Men. I'm going to skip that. Alexa Bliss also signed a 5-year deal with WWE. WWE has also released Duke Hudson. No reason was given.
Not yet.
At least not yet. Tomorrow night on Dynamite, Will Ospreay versus Don Callis Family Mystery Member, Ricochet versus Swerve Strickland, Kyle Fletcher and Takeshita versus Buddy Matthews and Brody King, Queen Aminata versus Tony Storm. Get your questions ready. We're going to do a quick Q&A, and then I am out of here. MG. Let's go. Oh, I put you on. Now your mumbling's on the air.
Oh boy. Get your questions, guys. We don't have any quite yet.
All right. Get your questions in there. We have collision here that I did not touch. You know, it was actually a good collision.
It was fine. We picked 2.5 things. I try to pick 2.5 things from wrestling shows to talk about because that's an old Kevin Dunn model, right? You pick 2.5 things that the crowd's going to remember and go home with. Collision had 2.5 things. They had the you can talk about the Mid-South Street Fight, fine. Yeah. To me, it was the Harley Cameron interaction stuff. I think that was great with Mercedes as well.
That was good.
And Tony Storm soliloquy, which was like the most soliloquy you could give in a soliloquy format because she stood there, you know, spotlight, no theme music, just talking. And it was fine. Other than that, like, it was the matches were good. It was fine. Roosh came back. It was a show for show's sake. Like, if you liked the wrestling, then you had fun.
Yeah, the wrestling was good. The wrestling was good. I liked it. All right. No questions. I'm out of here then. Okay. Give me a question. Okay. I saw Drew McIntyre had a backstage drama, but I would want to know, why would Drew feud with Priest if Priest was transferred? It's WrestleMania.
This is supposed to be a WrestleMania match, yeah.
It's WrestleMania, so they get to do that sometimes. The Rumble kind of messes up the split. Drew and Priest would be a really good match.
Again, there's history there. WrestleMania, you know, Drew got cashed in on by Priest.
Yeah, and that set up the Punk thing. Yeah. I'm for that.
There's reason to do it. Yeah, and Drew might be also going to SmackDown. We don't know officially yet.
SmackDown, what's a heavier roster right now? Raw or SmackDown?
They gotta make SmackDown a heavier roster because they have 3 hours of programming every week at this point. They have some low. Okay, so last week SmackDown and the week before was a focus on lower card talent, which is something that SmackDown needs to do because they need to start building those people. Because for so long, SmackDown was the Bloodline show. Nothing else mattered. Yeah. Now they're realizing, oh, we don't have Roman, we don't have the solo story, we don't have Sammy.
Also,
we don't.
Also, we got to balance those it. Opening Bloodline segments. Sometimes they were like 35 minutes.
Yeah. So know? That's why you got to start building your new top talent, or at least the new people you want to put a spotlight on.
I think that's a good thing. What brand will Jordynne Grace go to? NXT, SmackDown, or Raw?
A lot of people feel like she's finished her NXT stint. However, she's mentioned seeing Julia soon. I would like to see her on SmackDown potentially, but time will tell.
Yeah, I think she's a great addition, though. If there was one acquisition to make like that, it would be her. And they're very high on her.
As they should be.
Very, very high on her.
Yeah, professional, does extremely well. People love the work that she does. And in and out of the ring, very, very well respected.
Yeah. When will we see Asuka? Is that it? When will we see Asuka? And will she have a match at WrestleMania? I don't know, actually.
Creative is being worked on for her.
Huh?
Creative is being worked on for her.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's going to be Mania or not, but post-Mania, you could have her come back and do something.
Yeah. Her and Becky Lynch, for that matter.
Well, Becky too, right? Becky's probably sooner than anything else.
Yeah. Well, you might hold off until after WrestleMania with Becky.
Armand, what's the best food snack you had for the Rumble? What did I have for the Rumble? Let's see. Well, we went out to the movies on Sunday. No, that was Saturday. Saturday was the Rumble. Went to the movies on Saturday, and then we went to press. I had a salad, and then I didn't eat for the rest of the day because I'm cutting weight right now. I got too chunky. Jess has the BMI thing, and she pinches my sides with it, and she's like, no. No eating today. No cookies. I did make borscht yesterday.
You little Russian nesting doll, you.
Oh, man. My borscht is delicious. I make it like twice a year, and the kids love it, too. But it's more like a stew instead of a soup. I make it more like a stew.
Do you put the sour cream on top?
Oh, yeah. And the fresh dill and the parsley.
God, you are my father.
Your father made borscht, huh?
He grew up with a Russian and a Polish family. So
I make it twice a year. My father, by the way, so I make it for him.
The only answer to the question, was it the best food? What's the best food or snack for the Rumble? It's cheesecake. It's always cheesecake.
Is it always cheesecake?
If you know, it's always cheesecake.
Meat Normus is asking, is it meaty? Yes. I use short rib. And I use filet, I use short rib, and I used a London broil. It's very meaty.
Love it.
It's very meaty. All right. Anything? When will we see Asuka? Drew's apparently going to SmackDown. Yes. Okay. When they tune into Dynamite and see a shit show that Tony Khan is booking. I mean, listen, I know that's a narrative here on how bad AEW is. I know that's a weird narrative out there. Guys, you have not seen bad wrestling if you think that is bad wrestling. You have no idea what some of us have endured watching terrible professional wrestling for years on end.
Children, the year is 1980. World-class championship wrestling exists. Don't do it. You're going to absolutely
don't
get sad.
Yeah, don't go to 1980.
You'll be sad.
Beyond the Bell, is WWE done with having legends in the men's Rumble? No, they're not. I just don't think they had, and they had a different philosophy. I think the legends are a great thing. But really, some of those guys, it's hard.
Also, this is a deep roster that they have, and they need to start really, showcasing. And that's what they did. Same with the women.
Yeah.
You had a couple of NXT. The only TNA talent across both Rumbles was the champion. That's it. And then other than that, you didn't really need legends. Trish was there because 25th anniversary, number 25. Nikki Bella's coming in potentially to do a wrestling, to do a WrestleMania match. Like, they made sense of everyone who was in the Rumble in one way or another.
Yeah, I don't. But who would you have brought that made sense?
If he was available, Sean Waltman would have been the only one that I would have considered to do something.
We never got his return.
Yeah, and he's coming off of diverticulitis, so he's another one that's like, he's not 100% yet. So if
he was working to make a return. He was going to do something. I don't know with WWE or not, but I know that he was working at doing something, and then he got diverticulitis. But prior to that, he had an injury also.
Oh, so, yeah, I remember that injury too.
Oh, no, not the butthole one. Not the butthole one.
Not that the tornado game. That was 2016. It's not that long ago.
Is it 2016? Was it Chikara? Did he do it at Chikara?
Oh, I don't remember that one. I got to check this out now.
He was in Chikara. He came out as a 1-2-3 kid. He shaved his beard and everything.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe I hallucinated that. Did that not talk about it? When he ripped his asshole? I'm not laughing. That's a terrible injury.
He says it nearly killed him. So 2013 may have been when it happened.
You know how Hogan talks about how he was the biggest guy on the roster, but like an idiot, he fell on his ass every single night, multiple times a night, you know, with that leg drop that broke his back. X-Pac, that Bronco Buster. You know what? That's the casualty of doing a Bronco Buster over and over again. He injured himself at a GCW show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, regardless. We love Sean. Yeah. He did on Janela's Spring Break. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Here's a small stack of monies for Beauty and the Beast. I'm the Beast. He's the Beauty. The WWE Tag Division have a Meat Mayhem tourney with all the beef? You know who had a reunion on that Jericho cruise? Enzo and Big Cass.
You can't teach that on international waters.
And you can't teach that. I have a very unpopular opinion. I think he needs to. I want to see that.
Hey, man, everyone's got an opinion. It's fine.
It's fine. Listen, I could be wrong, and I'm okay with being wrong. You were not entertained by them as a tag team?
Listen, opinions are like torn assholes.
Everybody gets one eventually if you do a Bronco Buster. Cha-ching.
Which show is this?
I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore. All right, let's do one more. One more question and let's get out of here.
By the way, yes, they should do a Meat Mayhem tourney. They should absolutely.
Yeah, why not?
That tag division has suddenly become big boys and I love it.
Well, look at it, right? The champions are the biggest of the boys.
Hell yeah.
They come from the planet of rocks.
Let's go. I want to see the boulders go at it. Let's do it.
Okay, so you have those. Who else is a giant meat boy tag? You do have Brody King.
Yeah, Brody King and Buddy Matthews would do that. Yeah,
that could count. That could count. Gates of Agony. Elias is joining.
Oh, they're with the Righteous. I wonder what the contract situation is with the Righteous. That's all I have to ask about. But who was the other group that I was thinking of that would fit into that? Reynolds and Silver from Dark Order would try to get in on that.
Yeah.
They would do that.
Okay, you could do that. Yeah, I'm actually, out of all the things, the AEW tag division, I think the emphasis is going to be put on that between Shelton and Bobby holding those titles. Now it gets interesting because it's not a... Generally, that tag division is pretty lean, like size-wise. You don't have... AEW does not put titles on the big giant guys. Murder Machine, he has another meet-normous... Oh, that's
100%. Yes. Yep.
Maybe you're seeing the success with guys like Hobbs that people are into and Big Bill or people are into. Maybe you do a little pivot here and you're like, okay, let's give the big guys a chance to do something.
Well, they wanted to. One of the big guys they wanted to pivot and it doesn't want to be there no more. So, you know, you get what you get.
Which one? Which big guy? All right. What is it? Booking idea. At Dynasty, Cope beats Mox, becomes AEW champion. Christian Cage cashes in the contract, beats Cope, becomes AEW champion. Thoughts? I really want Wardlow. That's what we were talking about. Yeah. I really want Edge to win that title. Cope to win that title. I really want to see Cope and Christian in a tag. Okay? I don't necessarily want to see Christian with the championship. I don't love it. If it's a transitionary move, okay, explain that to me when you do it, but I don't think Christian having that title is going to be as much of a positive as Copeland winning the title. NYC Demon Diva. Issa's here.
She's the best.
I'm going to mandible claw her.
You should fight
when
her.
When I see her? When I see her, that's what she's getting. She's getting a mandible claw. That's how I greet all my friends, male and female.
Come to Toronto. Come and see us. Not you.
Am I allowed? Are we allowed?
I mean, if you can make it, come and join us. Yes, absolutely.
What are you guys doing in Toronto?
What are we doing? Well, yeah. There's a show here at the end of this month.
What show is that?
There's a SmackDown and an Elimination Chamber.
Are you going?
I plan on it. I have submitted my credential request. If I get denied, then I will not be attending. Nice. But Sean's also coming. Sean will be in Toronto for that.
Oh, so good. I miss Sean in New York. I didn't get a chance to see him. Dude, it was the worst week. It was like the worst week. I had like 8 million things happening.
That was Christmas time. So you got an excuse. Yeah, it was. Fine.
Yeah. Christian holding the title until All in Texas when Darby beats him. I say yuck to that, Ed. Not for me.
Also, would you do that at Dynasty or would you do that at Revolution? Because Revolution is first. Dynasty is in April. Revolution's in March.
Revolution is first, yeah.
And it really feels...
I don't know. Or you know what you could do? You could have him cash in. Everybody will think he's going to get it and something happens. And yeah. He doesn't get a chance. I think that would be the best case scenario. That you did the thing to upset everybody, and you're like, no. And then you're like, they're like, okay, thank God. Hey, what happened to Thea Hale?
Oh. I believe she's had some back issues.
Yeah.
So she's been on the...
released like Duke Hudson. Duke Hudson, when... Let me see Duke. He was on the main roster.
They brought him up for a short time, then he was back down.
Yeah, but when did... it was the Paul Heyman run, right?
Oh God, that now you're asking too much, but probably yes.
Yeah, hold on. 2021, he was a breakout star. When did he go to the main roster?
He was on Raw with Shane Thorne in 2020 during the pandemic.
Yes, with Shane Thorne, he was on. Yeah, yes. Now, it was Paul. Paul was very high on him because he's tall.
Yeah, he's 6 foot tall. Five.
Six foot five.
As his Twitter handle will let you know.
His Twitter handle does let you know. He's a tall boy. All right. Are we done? Or do we have another one? Okay. I'm done. Guys, this was a blast. Joel, always a pleasure. You're the best.
Love you.
Does not matter what Issa says to me. You're the best. Don't listen to her. She's going to get one of these. Right in the face. Want more, Andrew and Rich? Tune in every Friday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, youtube.com/MattMenPodcast. I'll be back later this afternoon with Garrett Gonzalez. Not here, somewhere else. Doing We're Live, Pal. You can check me out there. And everything else I do is on X, at Andrew Zarin. Joel, where can people find you?
Easy to find, at Joel Pearl on other places. But really, you want to find me on Blue Sky at thejoelpearl.com. It's a mouthful, I know, but that's the way it goes. I'm in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Fightful Overbooked. That's our sister channel. Jeremy Lambert and I host a morning show where we talk about nonsense and a bit of wrestling. Now we're a 5-day-a-week product, so right now, if you go over, you'll find SB3 and Jeremy Lambert doing their show, so go check it out. That's in the weeds. And I host the TNA post show on Thursdays with Cresta Star. So if you like TNA, I also cover TNA.
Talking about in the weeds.
Oh.
Poor SP. He watched me lose my mind at that Ring of Honor show.
That's fine. He enjoyed it.
I went to another planet. It was so fantastic. I was in an old opera theater. It was 1910 for me in that building. It was I transported. I went to a different place. It was incredible. All right, guys, that's it for this week. See you later.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.